it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Who do you fear from the Giants, and where do the Cowboys hold an advantage? Now, Corey.
Dexter Lawrence.
That is fair. I don't know if you heard, but I did have an opportunity to tell Mickey that I had a statement that wasn't really a question.
I did hear you tell him he needs to always listen.
Yes.
He was like, I'll just listen to Jerry. No, listen all the time, Mickey.
But I also told him that the Giants suck.
Yeah.
And I think I
think he agreed.
I think I turned it into a question by saying, huh?
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, like if you're like, that guy's a jerk, that's a statement.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're like, that guy's a jerk, huh?
So
there's a difference. By the way, real quick, I'm sorry. Speaking of jerks, the Carolina Panthers did fire their communications coordinator who mocked the assassination of Charlie Kirk yesterday. He put up a picture and said, why are y'all so mad? Your man said it was worth it. And so he got fired, and the Panthers put out the views expressed by our employees do not, like, kind of the boilerplate that you're used to. So that dumbass got fired today.
Yeah.
Now, back to the Giants.
They say, Kevin, based on your statement you made moments ago, that making statements as questions is more effective than actually asking a question.
Mm.
Because when you get more honest responses, just like we did with the yes, yes, and not yes game. We didn't ask questions. We just said statements. And then because when you're asked a question,
right,
you typically start thinking of a way to kind of navigate it. When you're told
Ooh.
Something, you just kind of go with the premise.
Right. I know what to do. Alec, can you cue up cut number 9 for me? I see what you're saying. You kind of fear this guy, right?
Daniels, pressure in his face. Here comes that pass rush. He is wrapped up and sacked. They blow the play dead. So Brian Burns has his second sack of this first half.
Brian Burns, 2 sacks against Washington. First time a player has had 2 sacks in a season opener since 2011.
A first time any player's had 2 sacks?
For the Giants.
For the Giants? Okay. That's, dude, everywhere he's gone, he's been effective. He
sure.
is a pass rush extraordinaire. He only has 2 right now. All right. Like that's the concerning
no
part
Harold
about
Landry.
His career. Yeah. But he had 9, 12 and a half, 8, 8. But he's always one of those players that wherever he is, people are like, that's the guy, the best dude on the team. I think Dexter Lawrence is the one that I fear the most, but Brian Burns can wreck the Cowboys' offensive passing game plan.
Right.
And they have, it's not like they just have one guy like that. They have multiple pass rushers that are effective. And then, again, going back to Dexter's laboratory right there in the middle. Yeah. What does this button do?
Please.
He's right there in the middle, just wrecking shop on not only their pass rush, too, but their run-stopping ability. So, like, this is one of those teams that their front 7 is very stout. And not a lot of fun to deal with on a daily basis.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And I know we have, although I thought Mickey brought up a fair point. He goes, what have the Cowboys done? And I was like, that's a good point. They played a close game, but
mm-hmm.
they still lost.
Good point.
But you're right. With that combination of, you mentioned Lawrence, or we just played the highlight for Burns, and then you've got Leonard Williams and Kayvon Thibodeau. Like, that's obviously what they're leaning on as being the strength of this team. So the potential could be there to make like life difficult for Dak Prescott. And we've talked quite a bit in the aftermath of last Thursday's game about the potential, we're hoping, gelling of this offensive line. You know what? I hadn't even really thought about this. Do you think the extra few days does anything for the Cowboys as well in terms of strategy? Because sometimes we talk about the mini buy, and like, obviously it was the first game of the season, so the Cowboys were pretty darn healthy, but you do also, you have a couple extra games to prep, extra days to prep for this.
It's an interesting question because it doesn't it depend on how you utilize the time.
Fair.
I believe, based on what Brian Schottenheimer tells me, is nobody's going to outwork me. I'm in here, you know, early enough and later than everybody else, probably getting home around midnight. And how do you use your time? Are you just kind of sitting around chatting with everybody? Or are you doing effective work? Having the extra day, do you take that to go hang out by the pool? Or do you take that extra day to watch just a little bit more film and figure out, oh man, because Broda said this the other day, and I really loved what he was saying. You know, you go into a game, and Broda said, I spent my whole career looking for weaknesses on opponents.
Yeah.
My entire career. And so why do I want the coach and his staff to go in there and attack the weakness? Because that's the best way to defeat the team, is find what their weakness is and just go after it over and over and over. And it's those little details that give you that weakness. Go back to that Super Bowl, the 28-3 comeback for the New England Patriots. They detail the way that Julio Jones broke left or right.
Right.
Earlier in the season, and how he the injury that he had leading into the Super Bowl was going to affect a certain play on a third down that they got the ball back because of how much detail they paid attention to. So, yes, Kevin, I do think that if you use it effectively, that you're able to benefit definitely from the extra day. And rest, I mean, sometimes the rest part of it, your body recovery, obviously not Deron Bland, but, you know, the rest of the bodies out there.
What if they're watching film by the pool? Does that still count from the 90s?
I'm all right with that. Yeah.
Okay.
Watch, as long as you're looking for the small details that help you get the edge.
The person that they fear is Jameis Winston. I still think it would be Jackson Dart that came in instead, but from the 2-4, I still fear Russell Wilson because of the scrambling. And we talked about the inability to seal off the edge. I guess the good news is the Giants did nothing running-wise that wasn't Russell Wilson last week.
So it feels like the last couple of years, Kevin, I want to say the last couple of years, maybe it was last year specifically, the Cowboys just got ate up by running quarterbacks. Do you remember coming in week after week feeling like, man, even quarterbacks that weren't running quarterbacks were able to pick up yards against this team? So my question to you was about to be, do you think that because they got, I'm not going to say embarrassed by Jalen Hurts, but...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Embarrassed by Jalen Hurts so effectively on a standalone game like that, that the Cowboys are like, all right, we're cleaning that up immediately, or does that, we're just still going to run our defense the way we do?
Not necessarily. I think it might look like that just because Jalen Hurts is a better runner than Russell Wilson, or I think now a better improviser than Russell Wilson. So I think it might look like a better result, but I don't know if I'll be ready to say they like tighten it up.
Yeah.
You know, does that make sense?
Yep.
All right. So what to do at cornerback? Because you get the news that Deron Bland is going to be out for this game. I know there's speculation that it might just be this game. There are other people who think this could be a multi-week deal, but it looks very, very, very unlikely that he is going to play. And then you have Trayvon Diggs, who only had 27 snaps against Philly.
You're going to add more to that?
Yes. And he said, and this is what's a little tricky about it. He was talking about how he's ready for more this week against New York, but maybe not every snap. He said, a little bit more than last week, I feel like is best, smartest, and safest. And he is so right about that. Will that be altered at all because of Deron Bland, because they feel like out of necessity? Or do you think cooler heads will prevail and they'll be like, well, this is just one game, and like potentially re-injuring Trayvon by turning him out more than you needed to is probably not a good idea.
Yeah, man, this is the... I don't know exactly how to phrase this, but when you have a situation like this, I think you stick to the original plan. And that whatever we were planning to do with him anyway, despite what happened with Deron Bland, we have a 17-game season, 18-week season that we have to complete here. And anything else could happen to him at some point that is fluky or freaky or whatever. But we don't want to be the reason that because we pushed it too hard and too far. And Kevin, there's enough science at this point. There's enough data.
Just in general or specifically?
I think there's enough data for these trainers. They're really good at what they do. I think there's enough data for them to have really good, well laid out plans for these bodies that they're sending out there and what they know they can handle and what they can't handle. And the other thing too, Kevin, is it sounds like Diggs is being honest with himself and the team and the media of here's where I am. So I think that, I think you stick with the plan and you fight everything you can to get, you know, good coverage out there while you're at it.
Okay.
Malik Nabers is going to try and run wild on you.
You know, by the way, Malik Nabers said something I thought he got unfairly criticized in the aftermath of that loss for like the despondent look and then the kind of pseudo argument with Brian Daboll, which just included him like being upset for a second and then not like dapping him back and having a towel over his head. He was upset because they were losing. Now, I know
he didn't like to lose.
And I know people think it's just his stats. I do not think that was a reaction to just not getting the ball more. I thought he was upset because they were losing.
He has RBF is what he says too.
Like
he's like, that's just
Noah
my face.
Has that.
That's just my face. That's the way it looks. Maybe one day we can have a longer conversation about body language and how that affects other people around you when your responsibility as a leader and how, because that is something you've heard coaches talk to players about is I need you to be this whenever everybody else is seeing you, even though I know you're passionate about something. I think that's a good conversation for maybe we ask some people as we interview them.
Okay. No, I
you know, as you're interviewing Canelo and Terrence Crawford tomorrow.
I will do my best. I will also patrol the casino to really see if anybody is out there of importance. So I promise I will still I will stay in the casino till late hours to try to get interviews.
I have concerns.
Me too.
I have a lot of concerns for Kevin's gambling.
Man,
situation.
You need to be most concerned for Saturday, college football. And I'm going to be like, oh,
I made all the bets, Corey.
And you're going to be like, how much did you bet? And I'm like, $9,000. So I need to hope that at least.
But it's all broken up into small bets. So it's going to work out for you.
Yeah. So hopefully
still
$9,000. Yeah, absolutely. That's a fair point. All right. So a couple more people to be on the lookout for the Giants. So Drew Phillips, probably in the secondary. It was not a great day in the secondary for the Giants. So I thought Drew Phillips was probably somebody who showed out better than the rest, including Javon Holland. So that's another name to look out for. If you just go ahead.
They are a little suspect in that secondary, though. And that's where I'm really hopeful that this is the Pickens breakout game and the CeeDee Lamb redemption game.
Okay.
All in one thing in the Turpin, let's get touchdowns for everybody.
You know, and it's interesting that you say that, and this feels hugely problematic for any football team, but obviously this is who the Cowboys are playing next. Suspect in the secondary, also suspect on the offensive line, is they have people in positions that, I don't know, maybe feel like perhaps they're not true NFL starters or they're at least
subpar. It's
a bad
offensive line.
Yes.
It's bad.
And so you have an opportunity to take advantage of that as well as the secondary. I did want to point out at least one more player to keep an eye out on is Bobby Okereke. And
yes,
he had 16 tackles in the season opener. Now, I know
just lead the league in tackles, I believe.
Ooh, probably. Yeah. Right. That's a crap ton of tackles. And that's the second Giants player since 94 to have that many tackles in a season opener. Now, I know just getting tackles is not always indicative that you played well, because some of those could be kind of re-tackles off of something you missed. Some of them could be tackles at the second level for a play you really should have had stopped at the first level, but that's pretty eye-popping for
me. No, I think that you're dead on there, but it shows that dude's everywhere. And when that dude's everywhere, that's important. 16 was the leader for the week. Jordan Brooks had 14. Tyrell Dodson had 13. Both of those guys were playing for Miami, Kevin.
Oh!
So 27 tackles from the Miami players.
So what's the problem?
They're terrible.
By the way, that means he's on pace for 272 tackles. So keep an eye out on
that. I'm going to go find single-season tackles leader.
That's got to be the most by probably a pretty good margin, right? I love how
you're
margin, already, like,
you're throwing that number out there. Single season, 156.
Yeah, okay, so that's, that is like, I mean, that's just an insane number.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.